رينج ستيفن انا بحبه يعني. The manifestation of Christ and Messiah to the nations. And we've looked at that to the Magi, to different groups. But this morning, to a particular person, Christ was made manifest to Peter specifically at his place of work in a boat. And we'll look at this and ask the questions, you know, what does faith sound like? And what does faith look like? What does faith do? And it's a question that I think we should consider. We just sang the song, I Surrender All. And the question is, how do we get to that point where we can really say, we can really commit and say, I surrender all? And I think it's through these daily, small, incremental, doing what Peter did in this case. So the occasion, Jesus gets into Peter's boat, gets a little bit out from land, and then after he teaches the crowd, says, let's go out into the deep and catch something. And his words, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. So I know mothers in the room have probably had more sleepless nights maybe than some of the fathers. Juliana has definitely done that with sick children. And when you've not slept all night, your decision-making capacity, you're emotionally drained. I mean, maybe you know that feeling. You kind of feel warm all over and just a little restless and maybe a little irritable. And these fished all night. They've already cleaned up their nets. They've already put the stuff away. They're ready to be done. And that's all the things that are going through Peter's mind. He's a professional fisherman, right? This is what he's done. And Jesus is a rabbi. You know, if back in chapter 4, Peter's met Jesus already because Andrew had met Jesus and brought his brother, Peter, Simon, to him. And they had gone to Simon's house, actually. His mother-in-law was sick. And he'd seen Jesus heal his mother-in-law. She got up and started serving. So he'd seen that. He's familiar. Jesus, he just taught. He's a rabbi. But maybe he's thinking, you know, Jesus, stick to your lane, right? I'm a fisherman. You stick to the synagogues and the crowds and teaching or whatever, but I can fish and just whatever the weather, and they're not biting. Fish are kind of his domain. And that's a seemingly legitimate excuse, like a lot of ours. You know, he's already tried fishing, the weather conditions, whatever, it's not great. And we might come with similar objections or reluctance. You know, I've already been praying for my son and my friend to turn to the Lord. What's the point in continuing it? It's been years and there's been no change. And yet the Lord gives us this parable about a persistent widow. She kept going to the king. The king granted her request. So he says, keep on praying. Keep on and don't give up. Keep praying. Or when we are in relationships with people and we kind of stuck the grain on one another. Maybe some sharp things come out. Well, you read in 1 Corinthians that love believes all things. In other words, it's not believing worst about it, but it's believing the best. Well, maybe that wasn't me. Maybe I shouldn't be offended. Maybe I should actually believe all things. Or I'm thinking, well, that person I thought that I married, they've changed. Things are different now. And yet, we have clear commands in Scripture that husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Wives, respect your husbands, a picture of the church's trust in the head, Jesus Christ. There's another place that's a little like this, where Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus, they sent for Jesus, said he was sick. Jesus delays several days, finally gets there, and he's dead. He's in a tomb behind a stone, and we go to him. There's a conversation there, but then Jesus tells them, roll the stone away. And they have some objections. Like, Jesus, it's been 4 days. They're familiar with how bodies, decomposition, all that works. Is there's going to be a smell. That's not a good idea. Don't know what you're planning here, Jesus, but you don't need to roll the stone away. But they do. They roll the stone away, and then Jesus calls out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. This dead man who started to decompose and smell is made alive again and comes kind of fumbling out because he's been wrapped. And then Jesus tells them, take the grave clothes off of him, which is fascinating. Jesus just gave the man life, a dead body, a corpse. He just brought it back to life. But it's still got rain on its own. He could have restored him to the point where he was Downy Fresh or the Bounty, all the whatever your favorite detergent smell. But he doesn't. He's still walking around in grave clothes, and he tells the people, "You take the grave clothes off." In a way that he calls a lot of us. He's transferred us from darkness to light, and yet we still walk around in these grave clothes sometimes. We've got wrong attitudes. We've got things that linger from the flesh. And the Lord said, "You take the grave clothes off, and you help me to walk in this life." So all kinds of objections that we can come up with on a Sunday morning. Even though I've already had a full week, I don't really feel like getting ready and going to worship. But Hebrews 10, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another daily. There are so many commands in Scripture. Every time you open up Scripture, there's an appeal, an invitation that's asking, will you so believe? Will you so act? Will you so respond? And there's tons of one another's that are not optional. Jesus had given Simon the commands, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And again, there's objections that are seemingly legitimate, but these are, again, not optional. Some of the one another's from Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another every day so that nobody falls away. 1:15:12, love one another. Here's that. Romans 15:14, instruct one another. Galatians 5:13, serve one another. Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another. It's all of that option. These are what we're called to do. Ephesians 5:1, submit to one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, do good to one another. Hebrews 10:24, stir up one another to love and good works. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another. Anywhere you land in Scripture, it's calling us to something. And we might have all kinds of objections, but in this passage, the very next line, the very next breath, after Peter's objection, reluctance, we toiled all night and took nothing, I was tired, I was hungry, sleep deprived, but at your word, I will let down the nets. That's what faith sounds like. At your word, I will. NIV says, but because you say so, I will. And there's this precious turning in Peter's heart that we see. I've got, logically, it doesn't make sense. I've already done it. The nets are already cleaned up. I mean, we're going to have to wash them again. It's all this work, but at your word, I will. Because you say so. In other words, he's got his words. He's got his logic. He's got his narrative. He knows things. But at your word, I'm going to weigh your word higher than mine. And that's what faith sounds like. At your word, I will. So we can have similar objections, but faith sounds like, as you say so, I will. And we might be tired. I love that in the story of Elijah after the showdown with the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. An amazing time of God answering with fire and consuming the sacrifice, consuming the stones. That's a hot fire. Consuming all, licking up all of the water. This glorious display that he is the Lord. And then he gets scared from threats of Jezebel. And the Lord feeds him. He takes a long nap. The Lord wakes him up, feeds him, goes back to sleep. He needed rest. There are times like that, but there are other times. In this case, the Lord chose this moment when Simon was at kind of his lowest. He was pretty tired, pretty worn out, because he had to reveal those things. He had to get the weakness, those things out on the table. Because often the Lord works more through our weakness than what we would consider success. We can think about God's words to Paul whenever he's put this thorn in the flesh to torment me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power I know about your limitations, but the fact that you have these limitations, those jars of clay, they reveal that the surpassing glory is from God. So, Lord, so whatever all excuses, we may begin with some reluctance, some objection like Peter, but just be sure that in that next breath, we are saying, but at your word, I will. So when Peter is having this exchange with Jesus, he's exhausted, he's spent, and in essence, he's failed at the one thing he knows how to do, fish. So what happens? They let out the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They came and told both boats so that they began to sleep. That's an excessive amount of fish. But not just about to break the net, but about to sink several boats. How many fish did that have to be? And at that moment, Simon fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man." He was astonished at this catch. So maybe it was the fact that there was some unbelief still in Simon. Like, at your word, I will, but he's thinking, this is not important. This is, what's the point of this? But at your word, I will. I'm going to get the nets dirty again. I'm going to put them up again. And then this astonishing display that he is and he says, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." And then this sin gets exposed. He realizes this is not his expertise as a fisherman. This is not his skill, but Jesus brought these fish, something only God could do. And the result of this, we see in Peter's confession, is that he's not thinking so highly of himself anymore. He's thinking very highly of one who is on his way. Who knows what kind of glances they were exchanging here, but he's thinking very highly of the Lord, not thinking so highly of himself. And that's what Jesus was after. That kind of fear. One who is ready for the real fishing. And that's what he says. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." So now that you've gotten your ideas of yourself out of the way, I've got something I can work with here. Now it's time for the main competition. Jesus was after that kind of leader who could help rescue people from the dominion, darkness, transfer them into the kingdom. So Peter needed his weakness to be exposed, his inability, his limitations, his reluctant faith. He needed a glimpse of the Savior to say he was the one. That's what prayer is. And so for us, we looked at a few examples of particular things. Every time we open up God's Word, we're called to, we're invited to believe or to act, to do something. And question is, what might God be asking you to do? We noticed that some of those ones that are clear from Scripture, not to be discouraged, but always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Just the steady dailiness of things, which may not feel that dramatic, and probably you're not going to get an email from somebody saying, "Yeah, I want to just thank you because your faithfulness to your husband and your children, it was just a blessing to me today." And that's probably not going to happen. But we know that your labor in the Lord is not vain. Thank you for doing your job honestly and paying your taxes and doing whatever. It was a blessing. You're not going to get that kind of encouragement. But in the Lord, it's not in vain. So doing the daily things, being faithful, something we're called to. And maybe God's calling you to forgive someone. And even as you, if that's coming to mind, you may think, but there's these other things, and we've done it so many times, and but at your word, I will, should be the response of faith. And then what faith looks like is doing whatever it is, letting down the nets. Maybe God's calling you to adopt or to foster or fill in the blank. A million different things that he's calling us to. Anytime there's reservations, that reluctance starts to come up, bring it to him and say, but at your word. Because what you're doing there is you're saying, I'm going to elevate your word above my own, above all my reservations, above all my reluctance. At your word, I will. So when we hear the word of God, the question is always, will you now respond? You may encounter someone who's maybe homeless. And the question, even in that moment, is, well, what are we going to do? I mean, their situation, it may be, should I help them? Or maybe this is just, a void, and they're not really. What if all these things, all this reluctance comes up? But how do we know if it's God's voice leading us in these things? Well, one thing to know for sure is that the Lord will never move us toward other people in compassion. But the Lord is doing that. That's a good thing. The enemy of your soul is never going to move you toward other people. So that's one thing, just to know this. We can have our reservations, but then, very next to that, but at your word, I will. I'm just trying to find out how this, I might be able to. Making his word more weighty than our own. Every time we hear it, every time we hear the prompting of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to do, to believe, in spite of our reluctance to say, at your word, I will. Jesus ended his Sermon on the Mount this way. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of if we are to elevate his words more weighty than our own, we are becoming the kind of people that he can work to build this. And the real work of touching, bringing them into his kingdom. For his glory, for our. And we pray, Lord, that you would make us this kind of people whose faith looks like obedience. Help us, Lord, we pray. You know our faith is weak. You know our needs. So we look to you, Lord. Do what only you can. Pray in the name of your Son.